Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
Let me fix my thing here. Don't hit mute. All right, let me know when you can see me, when you can hear me. We are live from my phone, so ignore the poor quality. YouTube says if you go live from your phone, we will send your thing out to more people. So we're trying to reach as many people as we can. This is kind of like the hangout where we do Q&A. We talk about what's going on in the body of Christ and answer your guys' questions. When I'm live, I'm always like with an agenda, talking, preaching, going over notes, stuff like that. So this is more of a hangout, casual time. Make sure you like the broadcast, share the broadcast. That's going to help us a lot. And then let me know if the audio sounds okay. Hopefully it's not cutting out. I hope this microphone is working okay today. But yeah, you can type your question, you can at me, or you can put Q in the chat. That's going to help us a lot whenever we're reading the questions, because there's a lot of comments. Even though we are on slow mode, there's a lot of comments. I have some questions already that I see here that I'm going to get to. Welcome all of you in the slow mode. I know you're not used to it, but here we are. I want to go over what's happening in the body of Christ. This has probably been happening for the last year. A lot of people prophesied this was going to happen. I gave a prophetic word about a year ago this would be the case. And I do believe it's a prophetic fulfillment that there's a cleansing happening in the church. There is an exposure happening all throughout the body of Christ. No specific person that I have in mind as I even share about this, but we know this is something happening all over the world, happening globally. There is a lot of pastors that are mega church, mega following. I have a large following, so I would fall into that category as well, that think because they have large platforms, large churches, and large followings, that their sin will not be called out, that their sin will not be noticed, that will not be exposed, that in so many ways they're exempt. They've gotten away with it. But the Bible says that the justice of God will not be mocked. And this is a warning for all of us. When I see mighty men of God involved in scandals, falling in corruption, I don't look and say, oh, ha, ha, and gloat about it and make videos being like, look what happened to them. I take no joy or pleasure in that ever. To me, it's a warning. To me, it's an alarm saying, Lord, I never want to be that. I never want to be a statistic. Lord, keep me humble. Keep me in fellowship. Keep me under covering. Keep me walking with accountability. Make sure there's safeguards up. Make sure that I'm staying away from all these different things that these men have fallen into. So this is not a time to gloat over it or to be excited or to use it for views or for clicks or for a larger following. How sad would that be to use men, legitimate men of God who have fallen as a way to gain views, as a way to gain followers? To me, that's sad. It's not productive and it's not healthy for the body of Christ. The Lord is exposing people. The Lord is bringing to light what's done in darkness. The Bible says no matter what you do in darkness will be brought to the light. There's some of you right now thinking that your sin is not going to come out, thinking that your compromise is not going to be brought to the light. And the Lord in his mercy and grace will basically allow us to live in that sin for so long, give us a chance to repent, send us someone until he finally says, I'm going to have to expose you because you're not willing to humble yourself. The Bible says if you humble yourself, the Lord will exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, the Lord will humble you. And you do not want the Lord to be the one humbling you. So this is what we're seeing right now. Christ is really coming back for a bride. Not brides, a spotless bride, no blemish, no wrinkle, holy without fault to present to himself. And the Lord's not going to keep tolerating this compromise. Shame on us as leaders and pastors thinking that we can use the authority and power Christ has given us to manipulate people, to dominate people, to take advantage of people. So it's a warning for everybody. It's sobering for everybody. We should not take glory in this. We should not take pleasure in this. We should not be excited about the news, sharing it. Oh, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? This should be a sober warning for all of us. Take heed, the Bible says, lest you fall. Woe the mighty have fallen. So we have to pray for these leaders, these pastors, the mercy of God. Because the Lord is exposing, and rightfully so. We have to pray mercy, Lord. We pray your mercy over them, God. But we do want the corruption to be exposed. We do want the sin to come to the light. We do want the Lord to cleanse and purge his church. So on one side, it's a good thing the Lord's doing it. And another side, it's sad. And we need to pray for family members that are innocent, that are hurt by these things. You know, and it's going to keep happening. It's going to keep happening. If you are a pastor or preacher, I hate to say it this way, you deserve to be exposed. If there is sin in your life and you're openly manipulating people, committing sexual immorality and sin behind the door, it deserves to be exposed. So it's actually a good thing. Don't miss what I'm saying. But at the same time, we shouldn't gloat in it and take pleasure in it, because it's sad how the mighty have fallen, and no one's exempt. No one's exempt. No one can say, oh, that's not me and I'll never. That's pride. We have to stay humble. We have to stay contrite. Stay walking circumspect before the Lord, and say, Lord, search my heart. God, search my heart. When I see leaders fall, big time leaders, and it's happened, you know, you can name 10 in the last 6 months, I just say, Lord, search my heart. God, is there any sin in my life? God, is there anything in my life that offends you? God, is there any areas of my life that are wrong? Straighten what's wrong. Cleanse me, wash me. Lord, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from darkness, God. I want to make sure that my life is clean and pure before you. It doesn't even matter what it is before people. It's, Lord, I want it to be clean and pure before you. So, like, we think we can just hide our sin, but the Lord's like, I see all. So if you're in secret sin, confess it, renounce it, repent of it before the Lord has to expose you. You know, the Bible says even Jezebel, and I see your guys' questions. I'm going to answer some of these soon. Even Jezebel had a time for repentance. And the Lord will oftentimes give these leaders time and opportunity to repent, but they harden their heart, they get stubborn, they don't obey the conviction, they think they're above reproach, they stop seeking out the Lord, they stop seeking out deliverance, they stop humbling themselves, and then the Lord says, okay, enough is enough, you're causing damage, I have to expose you. So it's an interesting thing happening right now in the body of Christ. It's happening on a rapid scale. It's like I said, it's very, very sad. I'm definitely not gonna be the one that has to make a comment on every situation. That's not what my platform's for. That's not what my calling is. And I'm busy enough, guys, trying to preach the word to you guys, trying to stay motivated, trying to put out these videos, trying to bring you guys Bible teachings and sermons every week. I don't have time that every time there's a scandal, I'm going to speak out about it. I think it's wrong, and I'm saying, yes, Lord, expose. None of this is right. I'm not standing with anybody that's doing this stuff, but I just want you to know that I'm not going to be making a video over every single scandal. We're not going to become a tabloid. All right, this channel is not going to be a Christian tabloid, a Christian gossip channel, Christian drama channel. We're going to keep preaching the word of God and let the Lord judge. The Lord will divide. The Lord will judge. If the Lord tells me to speak on something, I will. But for the most part, I'm not going to be making a video on every single post. And sadly, I'll just tell you this, a lot of people do it for views. That's all I'm saying. People love drama. People love drama, and they do it for views. Did we feel the earthquake? There was a massive earthquake in California. Some of my family members say they felt it. I was driving home from a haircut to come to the stream, and I did not feel it, but I have family members that felt it where I live. And yeah, there's a massive tsunami warning and a big earthquake that just hit. I just saw it right now when I was loading the stream, but crazy times, guys. These are signs. These are signs. All right, somebody said, what is stopping me from praying in tongues? I've prayed and tried countless times. That's a great question that a lot of people have in the chat right now, and a lot of Christians have. I personally believe that when you get the Holy Spirit, when the power of God comes over and you're baptized, I believe God will allow anybody to pray in the Spirit. Paul says, I want all of you to speak in tongues. Now, there's a difference, if you've watched my videos, between speaking in tongues with an interpretation and praying in a heavenly language where your spirit is praying to God. That's in 1 Corinthians 14. Nobody can understand you. Nobody can translate. It's between you and God, and edifies yourself. So there's the praying in tongues, which I'll call it. And then there's the speaking in an unknown language with an interpretation. That's also a gift. And remember, the gift of tongues, 1 Corinthians 12, is different kinds of tongues. So there's not just one kind. There's different types, different dialects, different languages, different ways we use it. We know clearly the Bible says there's a tongue of prayer where you're praying in tongues and to you and God, building yourself up. And then there's a tongue that could be interpreted or it could be interpreted. Okay. With that all being said, there's many of you that can pray in tongues, but you don't. Just like there's many of you watching that can speak Spanish, but you don't. You're like, hey, do you speak Spanish? Yeah, well, how often? I don't really speak it much. Maybe once a month, right? Just because you can doesn't mean you do. So I have personally sat with people that are spirit-filled, their life has been changed, and they're like, I want to speak in tongues so bad, but there's just this mental block. The biggest block is your mind. The biggest block is not having the faith to believe that God's going to fill my mouth when I open it. I'm going to speak this thing out. And it's a very supernatural thing, right? It's not an intellect thing. And a lot of people that struggle to get it are those that are the most intellectual and they overthink things. So you have to try not to overthink it. Put on some worship music. Put your hands out. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Ask the Lord to baptize you in fire in the Spirit. And then speak it out. If you have the gift of prophecy, you have to open your mouth and speak it out. It doesn't just take over your body. And a lot of people are waiting for tongues to just take over your body and make you speak out, when you have to sit by faith and say, okay, I have this gift, I have the Holy Spirit, by faith, I'm going to speak out and the Lord's going to fill my mouth and I'm going to pray in the Spirit. So we'll pray today and the Lord will give it to you. The Lord will give it to you. I believe you already have it. You have the Holy Spirit. I believe you have it. The same Spirit that distributes all the gifts has all the gifts, okay? And I think this is for every believer. Now, speaking in tongues with an interpretation on a stage in the church is different than what I'm talking about. I'm talking about praying in the Spirit. And I have like hour-long videos on this if you want to go see. Did you get hit with the earthquake? Yes, but I didn't really feel it. It wasn't bad here. But yeah, there was a big, big earthquake. I think they said 8.0, something like that. All right. Someone about your deliverance testimony, they start to manifest like you person deliver them. I don't know what you mean. You said someone about your deliverance testimony. I think you're saying like you shared your deliverance testimony and somebody manifested. Does that give you permission to deliver them? Here's the thing. If you're sharing about deliverance, if you're praying for someone to be delivered and they start manifesting, I would start praying for them. I would start praying for them. It's a great time to pray for them. Now, if they don't want prayer, they don't want to get prayer and they're like, you know, fighting against getting prayer, I wouldn't force prayer on them. But if someone starts manifesting a demon as you're sharing your testimony or as you're in prayer, I would definitely take the moment to start praying deliverance over them and see what happens. It doesn't have to be this formal, educated thing. Sometimes in the moment are the most powerful deliverances where you just say, okay, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to believe the Lord that he's going to deliver you right now and see where it goes. And for those of you that don't know, quote unquote, how to do deliverance, I have a book that just came out and we have videos. Forget about the book and the videos really fast, okay? You don't know how to do it. You've never read the book. You don't watch the videos. You've never went through any of our training. Just do it. The Lord will lead you. The Lord will teach you. The Lord will guide you. The Holy Spirit is the one that will lead you into truth and to be your teacher. So let the Holy Spirit teach you and he'll show you how to do it. He'll show you how to do it. Do you ever deal with doubt? That's a good question. I don't know if I would say that it's doubt in the sense of, if you mean doubting God, no. I've never doubted God. Ever. I've never doubted God before. The Lord radically saved me and I look outside and go, okay, the Lord's real. His creation shows that he's real. Is there ever time where I doubt something I pray? Yes. And when I do that, I know that I can expect to receive nothing from the Lord. The Bible says if you pray double-minded or with doubt, you'll receive nothing from God. So I do at times pray with doubt, but I know that this prayer is going to be unfruitful. And so what I pray is, Lord, help my unbelief. This is a prayer that all of us should be praying. Just like the man that brought his demonized son to Jesus, and he says, if you can heal my son, and Jesus goes, what do you mean if I can heal your son? The man said, Lord, help my unbelief. So that's probably something I pray maybe every other day, maybe every day. I don't know. It's a common prayer. Lord, help my unbelief as I'm praying, because I don't want to live my life in unbelief. I want to believe you at your word for what you say you're going to do. Okay. Do you think Mark 16, 9 through 20 is scripture? Yes, Dwayne. It's so funny because a lot of the quote unquote cessationist guys will say, oh, you know, you preach about these signs shall follow them that believe, but that's not in the original manuscript. It's in every translation of the Bible, including the King James Version. So it's in every modern translation, although that wasn't found in the most ancient manuscripts. Most scholars say it's synonymous with scripture. It doesn't contradict what the Word of God says, and they agree it should be in the Bible. So it's a cop-out. It's one of the most supernatural passages, which is why the religious crowd doesn't like it. Well, that's not in their most original. And it will say that. There will be like an asterisk and it'll say it's not in the most original ancient manuscripts, but I do believe it belongs in scripture. And even if it wasn't in the most original manuscripts, it's harmonious with the Gospels. It does not contradict. It goes right in line with what Jesus taught. So I do believe it belongs there. And if you ask these guys that are like, it's not original, it shouldn't be there, I don't believe it, they don't rip it out of their Bibles. So if you're not ripping out of your Bible, then you do somewhat believe in it. But yeah, I do. I personally believe in it. But you don't even need Mark 16, 9 through 20 to like say, talk about deliverance or talk about miracles, because the Bible already commands believers to cast their demons all throughout the Gospels. So Jesus did it everywhere. You don't even need that text, even though it is a powerful text and I do use it. Can you speak in tongues and also have a demon? Yes. Yes, you can definitely. You can be saved and have a demon. A demon can't take your spiritual gifts, can't take your salvation. It could definitely make life harder and you battle temptations that you don't want and you don't need to have. And there's a lot of genuine Christians that have demons and battle their whole life when they don't have to, they can get delivered. But yeah, you can have a demon and still speak in tongues and stuff like that. All right. Can the children have a gift where they see in the spirit? My daughter is 9 years old and she sees things like demons and also has visions. Yes, Raina, kids can have spiritual gifts because there's no junior Holy Spirit. Jesus said, let the children come unto me. With that being said, if your child is seeing primarily demons, it might not be that they have a gift. It might be that they need deliverance. One misconception I want to talk about is a lot of people that see demonic beings or demonic things or demonic images all the time sometimes think that they have a spiritual gift. Now, this is not the case for your daughter or everybody, but just let me just share this. And they think, well, I see demons, I must have a spiritual gift. Not necessarily true. Sometimes when a demon's living in you, you're seeing, quote unquote, well, you're seeing through their eyes, but they're actually looking through your eyes and you're seeing what they see, or you're getting a glimpse into the spiritual realm, or they're showing you things to give you fear. So a kid might say, I'm always seeing demons, I'm afraid. I wouldn't default to that kid has a spiritual gift. I would default to they're probably being tormented by a demon and they need to go through deliverance. Now, if the Lord's giving her visions or she's seeing angels as well and the Lord and she feels a peace about it, then it probably is the Lord. Usually when it comes to spiritual gifts, specifically the discerning of spirits, the ability to see demons, you're not going to be terrified by the gift or what the Lord's showing you usually, okay? So if you're constantly terrified seeing demons everywhere, it's likely that it's not a, spiritual gift, but it's a demonization. And I've met a lot of people that are demonized that see these things and they go through deliverance and they don't see them anymore after. Now, the Lord could show you things for a purpose. If the Lord's showing you a demonic spirit, it might be you discerning it so you can do deliverance on somebody. But he's not just going to start showing you demons everywhere to freak you out all the time. So that, I hope, helps you a little bit, because a lot of people think that they have these spiritual gifts when in reality, they're just being tormented. Or it might be something she's watching. A door might have opened up. We got to be very careful. Children's shows sometimes are the worst. So be careful what she's watching. I would say if you don't know what your kids are watching, there's a problem. You should know what they're watching. You should know what they're listening to. It's a lot of work to monitor, but you need to be monitoring. Those of you like, we shouldn't shelter our kids. Google what the word shelter means. It means to protect them during a storm. Protection during a storm. So yes, we should shelter our kids. All right. Okay. I'm basically answering the ones where you highlight my name, like at Isaiah Saldivar, because it's just too many coming in. Is it okay to eat a fortune cookie but not read the fortune? I mean, I think you're fine. But yeah, I personally just kind of stay away from fortune cookies, because the Bible says fortune tellers are an abomination to God and don't give in to fortunes. And I know you might say, well, the fortune is innocent and it's generic. And you're right, it is generic, but I don't know how innocent it is. So I just kind of would stay away from fortune cookies. But it's not a thing where you're going to get demonized if you eat a fortune cookie, all right? But I would just generally stay away from anything that has to do with fortunes. Your girls are growing up so fast. Can you bring them on in the near future? Yes. Maybe next week we'll have a family prayer and I'll let them like do a Q&A or have some fun on the stream. I thought about that recently, that I need to bring them on again because they love being on the stream and I'm trying to involve them with what we're doing as well. And I know you guys love them as well. Okay. Let's see. So many questions, guys. I have it on slow mode, but it is what it is. I don't have any dates for Los Angeles as of right now. Okay. I don't have any dates in Los Angeles as of right now. All right. I'm coming to Life Song. I don't have my calendar because it's on my phone, but it's at the end of January. It's at the end of January. I'll give you the date. Well, actually, I can pull the date up. Hold on. Let me give you the date. I'll be at Life Song. Give me 1 second. Let me pull up it on my computer here. I will be at Life Song January 19th. All 5 services. Should you approach deliverance differently with a child than an adult? Yes. With a child, depending on the age, I would say if they're like 10 and under, I wouldn't sit there and try to make them renounce and do the whole procedure. I would, first of all, and I have a segment in my book about children's deliverance. There's another great book called Children's Deliverance. You can get it on Amazon by Frank Hammond. But I would first get deliverance myself, if you're going to do deliverance on your child. And then I would kind of just brute force the deliverance. I would start commanding the spirits out. I wouldn't take them through the whole process of, oh, you have unforgiveness. Oh, you need to renounce. Children are much different. And as their parents, you have spiritual authority over them. If you look at the children that got delivered in the Bible, the parents brought them to Jesus or came on behalf of their child. So there's the parents' faith is essential in children's deliverance, for sure. I'm not going to answer any questions of when I'll be places, guys. The only dates I have for you are I will be at Without Walls Church the last Sunday of January in Mesa, Arizona. And March, I'll be in North Georgia Revival, and then I'll be at Lifesong. Those are the only three dates I have. I won't answer a bunch of questions of when I'll be here or there because I just don't have any more dates. All right. After you streamed with Vlad and you prayed deliverance, I started dry heaving and throwing up, and anxiety migraines are gone. Praise the Lord, Josh. Yeah, it sounds like you got delivered. Throwing up, yawning, vomiting, coughing, those are all signs of a demon leaving, so praise the Lord. That's awesome. Okay. Man, these are coming in fast. In LA, I don't know a deliverance church. I would recommend, Josh, going to the deliverance map. If your fiance needs deliverance and wants help, I would either get trained yourself and do it, or I would go on my deliverance map, isaiahsaldivar.com/deliverance or deliverancemap.com, and find someone in LA. We definitely have people in LA, a lot of people in LA doing deliverance, so find somebody on the map. Can someone be a Christian and own a Christian business like a Christian network, but a woman president or leader of that Christian business? I don't think there's a problem to have a woman as the Christian leader of a business. But I definitely would not have a woman as the senior leader of a church, you know, where she's the head leader, her husband's, you know, the associate, she's the head. I don't think that's healthy or biblical. I don't know what you mean by a Christian network, but yeah, I think a man should be leading. That's the biblical role. Okay. Let's see. Why do you think only humans are tortured in hell and not demons, if it was made for them, or will they be at the end? So that's a good question, Stephanie. To the extent that demons are tormented, we don't fully know, but we do know that in Revelation 20, one day, every demon, every person is going to get thrown in the fire, lake of fire. That's not a believer, of course, and be tormented for day and night, all of eternity. I do think there's demons being tormented in hell right now to an extent, but I don't think every demon is. I think a lot of demons are doing the tormenting. And remember that hell is not like the home for demons or the devil's home. God did not make hell for the devil to live. God made hell for the devil's eternal punishment and destination. So it's not his address, it's his destination. He will go there one day. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, and one day they will go there for all of eternity. So yes, that is true, and I know that can be confusing. But right now, the Bible says the devil is the god of this world, not the god of hell. That makes sense? And then one day, because the hell was made for the devil will get thrown in the fire lake or burning sulfur with all the demons as well. So yeah, hell was not made for humans. It was made for the devil and his angels. Humans go there because they reject God. And one day, every demon and the devil will be burning the fire lake of sulfur. But the Bible makes it clear the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this world, and he rules the entire world. That's what the Bible says about the devil, and his demons help him do that as well. Okay. Man. Lots coming in here. Let's see. If I didn't answer your question, you could just ask it again once the little timer's up. Is a Christmas tree demonic? No, Christmas trees are not demonic. If you look at where it talks about, people say in the Bible, it's talking about a wooden tree or worshiping a tree. It's talking about creating idols and bowing down and worshiping idols. It's not talking about the modern day Christmas tree. So yeah, I wouldn't say that Christmas trees are demonic. And it's going to make, yeah, some people mad, I know. Would you do another podcast with Z or with one of your parents? Yes, absolutely I would. Of course. Can someone be a Christian and still watch Harry Potter, knowing Jesus and his word comes first in his life? You can do whatever you want. You can watch whatever you want. Now, should you, or is it healthy? In my opinion, no, because the themes of Harry Potter go against what the Bible teaches. You got to remember how strong of a stance the Lord takes on witchcraft. The Lord says it's an abomination. And in the Old Testament, they would put witches to death. So to watch a movie that glorifies something the Bible calls an abomination or glorifies something the Bible detests is probably not a great way to find entertainment. So I wouldn't recommend. Now, some pastors tell you, oh, Harry Potter is the story of Jesus. Come on. Who's buying that? Who really is buying that Harry Potter is the story of Jesus? I've heard some big name pastors teach that. It's bizarre. I would stay away from it. If the Bible says that witchcraft is an abomination, probably not something I want to get involved in. I got to figure out a better way to filter these comments because even in slow mode, there's just so many. All right, I'm in a relationship where she swears in the name of God that I'm everything for her. Well, you shouldn't swear in the name of God. But since I met her, I had a strange feeling like something's off. Whose voice is that? Probably the Lord's. I mean, if you're a sold out believer, is she sold out like you? You don't want to be unequally yoked. So if you're way more on fire than her, probably not the right person for you. To be unequally yoked means you're here and she's here, or she's here and you're here. To be yoked evenly is where you're both side by side chasing after God equally and pursuing God in the same way. But if you're with somebody or dating somebody where they are compromising, they're leading you to compromise, they're not challenging in your faith, and you're wanting to go after God and they're not, it's only going to get worse when you get married. You probably shouldn't be dating unless you plan to marry that person anyway, because there's no point in dating someone you don't plan to marry. So yeah, if you can't see that being your wife, and if she's not that godly example that you'd want for your kids, some of you need to ask yourself that. When you're dating somebody, think about this. I'm going to help some of you that are in relationships or single. Do not date someone that you would not want to be the mother of your child. Do not date someone you wouldn't want to be the father of your child. If you're dating just to date, you're doing it wrong. You date to marry, and if you don't see that person long-term in your life, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. If that person's convincing you to sin, convincing you to compromise, you're wasting your time. If he doesn't want to wait till marriage, probably not the right guy to marry. And vice versa for the girl as well. So you got to really pray about that and not be unequally yoked. Some of you are like, oh, he's just going to get on fire one day. If he's not on fire now, it's likely once you get married, he'll probably even become more lukewarm than he already is. So don't do it. What is counterfeit deliverance, and how do you respond to those accusations that seem to come out of nowhere? I mean, I don't really watch videos where people are accusing me of counterfeit deliverance, but I would say that deliverance looks counterfeit to people that never do deliverance. Let me say that again. Deliverance looks counterfeit to people that never do deliverance. It's funny how the experts of deliverance on YouTube have never done a deliverance in their life. They're like, this is fake, and I'll say, show me the real, and they'll never show you the real because they don't do deliverance. So if somebody's a genuine deliverance minister and is saying, I'm doing, for example, counterfeit deliverances, which I don't even know what a counterfeit deliverance is. I've never even seen one. Then I would say, I would take what they say serious if they're genuinely deliverance ministers. But if you have somebody who's never done deliverance in their life, why am I going to listen to him telling me I'm doing something counterfeit when they're clueless about what they're even talking about? Like, that's a counterfeit $100 bill and you know nothing about money. So I don't know. I personally would just ignore if somebody's saying you're doing counterfeit deliverances. I'm 18. I've been serious about God since I was 15. I want the Holy Spirit. How can I get it? Well, if you're a believer, Michelle, it's likely you already have it. If you're talking about being filled and baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues, Luke 11 tells us all we have to do is ask. So all you need to do is ask for the Holy Spirit. Put on some worship music, get in the place of prayer, and just say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and ask him. And he's a good father. He'll give you if you ask him. So yeah, you can definitely ask him. If you guys ask me where I'm going to be in a certain state, I'm not going to answer because I already given you guys my dates and I'll put them on the website soon. I'm going to be in Stockton, California in January, in Arizona the last Sunday of January, in Mesa at Without Walls Church. And then March, I'll be in Georgia. Those are the only dates I have right now. All right. Okay. Do you have a personal Sabbath day? I would say Sunday is my personal Sabbath day. Yeah, I don't work on Sunday. I don't do any streams usually unless I'm preaching at a church, which is not very common right now with my travel schedule. But Sundays I go to church, I kind of relax, hang out with the family and all that stuff. But I'm not really doing much work on Sunday. So I would say Sunday is probably my Sabbath day. Okay. I was wondering what you'd say about the apostolic Pentecostal UPCI saying people that believe in the Trinity are deceived. They're oneness Pentecostals, Jesus only. I have some friends that are oneness Pentecostals and they would agree on everything I would agree on, they would just word it different. So I don't really know enough about the oneness Pentecostal doctrine to really fully speak on it, but I do know some people that I'm pretty close with that are oneness Pentecostals that love the Lord, and I've talked to them about the Trinity, and they're like, we agree with everything you're saying. Their words are just different, the word semantics. The way they would word it is different than I would word it, but they believe the exact same thing. So that's where it gets weird and interesting. So I don't fully know how to answer that question, but I would have to look more into that doctrine. Okay, me and my sister have been called to do deliverance ministry, and the church we're involved in doesn't believe that a Christian can get demonized. Yeah, sadly, that's a lot of churches, which is why the devil's running free in the church. And now we're rejected. What do we do? Well, you can do deliverance at your house. You can get on the deliverance map and do deliverances and meet up with people. you don't necessarily have to have permission of your church leaders to do deliverance. But if you feel rejected, you should probably find a new church. If you feel like you can't fit in because it's such a core thing that the Lord's called you to, I would probably find a new church. I personally wouldn't attend a church that doesn't believe Christians can be demonized or could get deliverance. So you have to pray about that. But yeah, I wouldn't be able to personally go to a church where they don't believe in deliverance. When will Corey Russell be back on stream? I don't have that date. Man, this chat's frustrating because it like loads comments, and then when I scroll down, it reloads a bunch of new ones. So yeah, you'll just have to keep asking your question. What advice would you give someone who wants to witness to their family, but they're still unbelievers? Layla, I would just live it out, sister. I would share your faith. Let them know, hey, if you ever want prayer, this is what I would tell them. If you ever want prayer, if you ever want to talk about God, if you ever want to hear about the Bible, I would love to share with you. I'm here for you. Nothing tastes good when it's shoved down your throat. So just continually bombarding them is not necessarily going to help. The biggest thing you can do is let them know that you're available at any time they need prayer or counsel or want to hear the gospel. Definitely share with them, you know, like I said, share with them the gospel, share your faith. But here's what you need to do. Spend time in prayer. This will be the thing that unblinds them. The Bible says the devil has blinded the mind of unbelievers. So you really need to pray for them. A lot of us in the chat pray for we want our family saved, but we never pray for them. So we want to make sure that we're praying for them, spending time. Lord, unblind their minds. Lord, open up their eyes. God, break the pride off of them. God, show them the truth. You genuinely got to pray for them. Seek the Lord, pray for them, pray for them, pray for them, pray for them every single day. And the Lord will bring breakthrough when the time is right, when their heart is softened, you can plant that seed. Your job, sister, is to plant the seeds. The Lord brings the increase. So you plant, 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 and then the Lord will bring the increase there, okay? Can tongues sound different as you grow in faith? Yes. Yes, tongues will change. They will sound different. I don't know why. I don't understand why. I don't have an answer for everything, obviously. But your tongues will change. And depending on the circumstance, my tongues sound different times I'm praying, different situations. So I don't know how that works or why that is. But when you're praying in tongues, yes, it could sound different. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it'll sound the same your whole life. But again, these are not for us things for us to understand. Your deliverance map for 2024 is very limited as an addition to last year's. I'm glad you asked, Linda. I know not all of you didn't see the announcement video. I have an announcement video on my YouTube on why the deliverance map is new and all that. Here's the deal. There's a lot of people on the old map that were no longer doing deliverance. We made a fresh map, and 2024, end of the year going forward, all the new people applying are going on the new map. This way, you can get on there and say, I need somebody that's current, that's active, and then we have a fresh map. Because we can't email thousands of people saying, are you still doing deliverance? Are you still doing deliverance? And a lot of people stop doing deliverance and don't tell us. So the old map's still there. If you want to go on there and you're desperate, you can go there. But we're not adding to the old map. We're only going forward adding to the new map so it stays fresh. And likely we're going to wipe it every year, probably. Because there's no other way to make sure it stays current. And I hate the fact that so many of you say, I've tried over and over again and I couldn't find anybody to do deliverance on me. So it's been a few years now. We needed to make a new one, refresh it, and we'll kind of have that probably every 2 years. Maybe we'll refresh it, something like that. Are we supposed to follow the food laws in the Old Testament? No, we're not under the Old Covenant food laws. Basically, Jesus said, don't call unclean what I call clean. So we are not under the food laws of the Old Testament. Absolutely not. How do I help a brother? They love the Lord and know the Bible, but they won't admit their wrongs or admit they sin. You can't really help them. You just got to pray for them. You just got to pray for them. If you're married by a preacher but don't have the paperwork with your state, are you married in God's eyes? Marlena, I don't know how comfortable I am answering that question. I would say that you should get married based on the laws of the land because just like divorce, God acknowledges the laws of the land. So God allowed Moses to give them divorce certificates. So I don't know how comfortable I am. I don't think I can give you a black or white answer because it's not something I've put a lot of thought into. I would just say, if you're going to get married, do it according to the regulations, which would be, you know, having a pastor sign. You do have to have a licensed minister, at least in California, sign your marriage certificate. So there is some credence to that legally being married. I would just do it the right way. I would do it the right way. So if you already got married, had your wedding from a preacher, I would also get paperwork from the courthouse and have that preacher sign your marriage certificate just so you don't have to worry about it. Do it right in the eyes of the Lord, personally, okay? But I don't know where I stand. Like, are you biblically married in the eyes of God? I don't fully know. I haven't done enough research on that topic to give you a clear answer. And someone in the chat might know better than me, but I would say do it the right way. The Bible says this, obey the laws of the land. So we are called to obey the governing laws. God's put government, law enforcement above us for a reason, the Bible says, and we actually need to obey the law. Now, if the law caused you to sin, of course you don't obey it, right? But you need to obey for in a general sense, the laws of the land. You've mentioned to be careful who lays hands on you in prayer. How, when at the altar, and why? Okay, Laura, great question. I would be careful who's laying hands on you because there's something very spiritual about the laying on of hands and prayer in general. I would not just let any random person walk up to me and pray. If somebody comes up to me and says, hey, brother, I love your ministry. Can I say a quick prayer for you? I'm going to discern, right, whether they're this or that. But if they start praying something weird, or if the Lord just tells me, no, don't let them, which he has before, I'll just be like, respectfully, I don't let people lay hands and pray for me. I've done that very few times when the Lord specifically told me to do that. For the most part, people are innocent when they want to come and pray for you. Now, if you're at the altar and your church has an altar prayer team, then you're trusting that those leaders have vetted those people praying, know the people praying, and those are good people. So I wouldn't stress about it. But again, if you're at a random place and you don't know the person and they're laying hands on you, I don't know. To me, I probably wouldn't allow that. Just use discretion, use wisdom. The Lord will guide you with that. But if it's an altar prayer team, I don't think there's a big deal. They've been vetted. You trust the pastor and the church and the leadership. And I think that you're going to be fine if you do that. But yeah, I just don't let any random person lay hands on me and pray for me, right? Like, if you're not on the prayer team, if I don't know you, I'm going to have to really discern you. How often do you get recognized when you're out and about in your personal life? This is bizarre for me because this wasn't happening before the online took off, but all the time, like pretty much every single time I go out. I can't remember the last time I went out where someone didn't recognize me, which is bizarre to me. Not like, oh, I think I'm this famous guy. It's just because the online, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. I think total, we just passed, well, this was about 5 months ago, I think I posted, we passed 500 million views. So we're almost at 200 million on YouTube. We've had videos on TikTok do 10 million views. One of our first videos ever did 15 million in one video, and we have thousands of videos on all the platforms. But yeah, when you have that many views, people are just gonna know you and see you. And I mean, me and my wife were at the doctor yesterday, and a guy staring at us next to us in the car and was like, roll your window down, and I rolled it down. He's like, oh, I've heard you preach and all this, and I shook his hand. So yeah, it happens every time we go out somewhere. Do you sign autographs? I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence about it. I haven't done like a book signing or signed anyone's books. Actually, I signed one person's book that came up to me at church the other day, but I don't know. I'm still kind of like iffy about it. There was a young kid that came up to me asking me to sign his shirt one time, and I wasn't going to, but then the Lord's like, why would you not? He looks up to you. Would you rather him go get a signature for some rapper? I mean, this was like probably 12-year-old, 13-year-old boy, and God's like, you want him to get an autograph from a rapper? He looks up to you. You're a man of God. And so I felt like the Lord told me to sign a shirt. So I did. But it's not something I really make a practice out of. And I'm still praying about it. I'm kind of on the fence about signing books and signing autographs and all that. I don't know. Maybe I'm being false humble. Maybe it's false humility when it's not even a big deal. But I don't know where I stand on that. I kind of take it case by case, but we'll see. All right, someone said, I'm struggling over a very difficult breakup from my girlfriend over a year ago. I'm struggling to come back to Christ because every time I try, I'm distracted by her. What do I do? Great question. I don't know what you mean by distracted by her. If you're still talking to her, you need to stop talking to her, okay? If you're going through a breakup or you broke up with somebody and now you're still trying to get over them and seek the Lord, but you're also still talking to them, you maintaining that relationship with them, is probably still going to keep that soul tie going and keep that emotion there. So often you need to just cut them off completely. So Sandman, if you're still talking to her, cut her off. If she's not a believer, you need to cut her off. Let somebody else minister and reach her and pray the Lord would break the soul tie. Get rid of anything that you have from her. I'm being serious. If you have any items from her, shirts, memorabilia, whatever is reminding you and bringing you back to that time in your life and you're trying to go forward in God, You just got to get rid of it. Break the soul tie. Get rid of it. I have a whole video on soul ties, but yeah, hopefully that helps you. A lot of people want to be friends. I don't understand why people want to do that. If you're in an ungodly relationship and you break up, hi Angela, and you break up, and now you're trying to seek the Lord and you're stuck in that, you need to cut that relationship off completely. I was with a girl for 4 years when I got saved and was gonna marry her, and the Lord said, this is not your wife. I broke up with her through a text message, which I know you're not supposed to do. Never talked to her since, because I knew if I got back with her, I was gonna give up my calling. And I'll tell you guys right now, if I stayed with that girl or went back to her, I guarantee I would not be doing what I'm doing right now. I would not be preaching. I would not be reaching people or doing anything. So that could have cost me my calling. That relationship could cost you your calling, and you need to be evenly yoked. Like I said earlier, don't date anyone that you wouldn't want to be the mother of your child. Don't date a guy that you can't see being the father of your children. If he's not a leader now, he's not going to be a leader once you marry him. If he's acting like a child now, he's going to act like a child once you marry him. You need to get with a man or a woman of God, be equally yoked, which is why you should be in a local church that's on fire, and get around some fiery believers. They're out there. They're out there. Get plugged in. And also, listen, if you're not on fire, don't expect to date someone on fire. Right? Some of you have no passion, you're not on fire, and you're like, I want a godly woman. You're not a godly man. You literally don't deserve a godly woman. People don't realize when David slayed Goliath, he was promised the king's daughter. And a lot of you, and I'm preaching now, you want the king's daughter, but you don't want to slay the giants. So before you get the king's daughter, you got to get the giants in your own life slayed, and then you get the king's daughter. David got no taxes for life and got the king's daughter, but he had to first slay the giant. So there's a lot of guys out there that are no job, no prayer life. You're just not, I wouldn't want you marrying my daughter. So if I wouldn't let you marry my daughter, why would God let you marry his daughter? Preach. Get your act together, guys. Be the person that you want. If you want an on-fire girl, be an on-fire guy. If you want someone with work ethic, be someone with work ethic. But we got to be equally yoked. There's a lot of guys in the church that are spiritually lazy that want on-fire wives. It doesn't work like that. The church is not just a place to find a wife or a husband. Seek the Lord first, and don't get in a relationship till you know. Don't get in a relationship till you know who you are in Christ, because you're called to be leading her, and you cannot lead someone if you don't even know where you're going. It's the blind leading the blind. You need to know and get solid with God before you even get into a relationship. Amen. There's your dating advice. Maybe I'll do a dating stream. The prayer today is at 1:30, yes. 1:30 p.m. we'll have our monthly partners weekly prayer call. That's a mouthful. Okay, sorry guys, there's so many questions. Literally hundreds of questions come in. I don't know what to say. I'm trying. Can we have unchristian friends? You can have unchristian friends, but I would be careful of the situations you put yourself in, because the Bible says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? So in what environment are you with those Christian friends? And are you being an example to them, or are they being an example to you? The moment my unbelieving friends start influencing me is the moment I'm messing up. If I have unsafe friends that curse or drink or do any of that, they're not influencing me, I'm influencing them. I'm being Christ to them. I am being a godly example to them. They're not being, for lack of a better word, a demonic example to me, right? We know that the world is under the power of the enemy, that the Bible says those that are in the world are basically sons of disobedience, and they're following their master, who's Satan. That's what the Bible says. I know it sounds harsh. So if they start dictating to me how I'm supposed to live and influencing me, and now I'm starting to almost cuss, I'm starting to almost talk like them, that's a time where you need to cut them off and you need to be the greater influence. This is the honest to God truth. Some of you, well, 1:30 p.m. Pacific time, Monday. Everything I do is in Pacific California time, so yeah. Some of you can't handle having unbelieving friends. You're not spiritually strong enough. You're not going to influence them, they're going to influence you. And in that case, you shouldn't have unsaved friends. Because what fellowship does light have with darkness? What partnership does unbelievers have with believers? Now, if you are solid, then yes, you need to be the light in darkness. You need to be the salt in the earth. So I have friends, for example, that I play pickleball with that are not believers. But you know what? I witnessed to them. I witnessed to one of them for 4 hours recently. 4 hours straight, I got to witness to him. This guy would have never heard the gospel, never gone to church, but because I met him through pickleball, I was able to witness to him. And I do that with a lot of different guys I play pickleball with. Some I haven't yet, because I'm waiting for the right opportunity, but they're not influencing me. I'm not out cussing. I'm not saying dirty jokes like some of them. Now, if they said, hey, you want to go to the bar? No. Hey, you want to go hang out outside of pickleball at a party? No. We'll hang out at pickleball. You can come over to my house. I'll talk to you about God. We can meet up at coffee and have lunch. But like I said, I'm not going to be influenced by anyone that's an unbeliever. We're called to be the influence. We are the salt of the earth that brings light. So you need to make sure that you're being light. If you're being influenced by them and you can't handle having unbelieving friends, then no. But again, Jesus ate with sinners. Think about that. Jesus ate with sinners, but he didn't party with sinners. He wasn't going to the club. He wasn't out, you know, getting drunk with the sinners. So yes, eat with them. Invite them to lunch. Be their friend. Friends at work that aren't believers, be the light to them. And I'm not shoving God down their throat every chance I get. I'm waiting for the open door. I'm praying for them. And some of them have come to church and some of them have heard the gospel. But that's what we're called to be, all right? How does your wife go about raising children and doing ministry herself? How have you both worked through that balance? Great question, Nathan. My wife's ministry is raising our kids. That is her ministry. I have told my wife, anytime you want to be on the stream, anytime you want to do anything, I would love for you to do that, but there's no pressure. Because my wife's calling is to raise our kids as disciples, to take care of the home, to be a homemaker. I believe that's God's design. How do I say this without being rude? We have, help me, Lord. We have a very feminist gospel where people say the woman has to be equally as a leader as the man. The woman has to have a big ministry like the man. The woman has to be an author and a leader and a spokesperson. That's not the calling for most women. I don't believe that's God's design for most women. The guy, the man, is supposed to be the spiritual head and the leader. Don't get mad at me. That's what the Bible teaches. So if my wife wants to write a book, she wants to speak, if she wants to be on the podcast, yes. But other than that, I consider her ministry raising our kids, discipling our kids, being a stay-at-home mom, being a homemaker, and being a support. And I'll tell you this, I wouldn't be on here right now if it wasn't for my wife. If it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't have a YouTube channel. I wouldn't be doing anything that I'm doing. So she's the backbone, and you don't see the backbone in the body, but it holds the whole body upright. So we have to stop trying to make women equal to men in that they have to be successful, have this big job. The most successful thing you can ever do is be a stay-at-home mom. I believe that 100%. The most successful thing you could ever do is have kids. What an amazing thing. And now we have a generation's like, don't have kids, just get a job, become a CEO, be a successful woman. That's feminism. That's not what the gospel teaches. Now, of course, women can do great things. Women can run this and do that and all that. But I think primarily, my wife said preach, I think primarily the job of the wife, if you're married, is to be a homemaker, is to raise the kids. I have 4 kids. Imagine my wife gets a job, I'm working, and we're hiring a babysitter to raise our kids for us. I don't understand that. Some of you make $20 an hour and you're paying $18 an hour for a babysitter to watch your kids and you're making $2 an hour after you pay the babysitter. Just stay at home, make the sacrifice, pour into your kids. And I know some of you ladies are like, well, I want to get out and do this. Then why'd you have kids? Why'd you have so many kids then? If you wanted to go out and be a CEO of a big company, like obey the Lord, he'll guide you and lead you. He'll guide you and lead you. Angela said, even if a woman has a ministry like me, decisions should go through my husband. He's the backbone of the ministry if I'm the voice. But amen, yes, ministry is the children first and foremost. Absolutely, Angela. 100%. No higher calling than being a mom. Absolutely. Yeah, and again, ladies, have a ministry. Reach people. All of that, but don't sacrifice your kids on the altar of ministry. Don't sacrifice your kids. And don't force your wife to do ministry if she doesn't want to. Don't force your husband to do ministry if he doesn't feel the calling to. Let the Lord lead, let the Lord guide. Not every guy is called to be a preacher and doing quote unquote ministry. Not every girl is called to be, you know, a face quote unquote ministry. Some are, some aren't. So, amen. What if you're a stay-at-home dad? Be the best godly stay-at-home dad you can be and disciple your kids. If you're a stay-at-home dad, don't be playing video games all day. Do what you need to do. Clean the house. Cook dinner. Disciple the kids. Take over that role. If that's where you're at right now, then do what you have to do. And with that being said, I honor and respect stay-at-home moms, stay-at-home dads, all of you. So I'm going to say it with love and respect, and I have friends and family that are stay-at-home dads, okay, that their wife makes a lot of money, works a corporate job, and they stay at home with the kids. And I'm not saying you're out of the will of God. I'm not saying it's ungodly or any of that. What I will say is this. A lot of stay-at-home dads struggle and feel unfulfilled or feel like they're out of position. And the reason being is they are. And I'm not being rude. I'm not trying to be rude. I personally believe the man is the hunter. He's the gatherer. He's the one called to provide. So I personally believe, and I'm very convicted about this, that the man should be the breadwinner and the provider. So if you're a stay-at-home dad, again, it's not like I'm like, oh, you're in sin. You're out of the will of God. I look down on you. No, that's commendable. That's a lot of work and all of that. But at the same time, if I was in your shoes, I would do anything I can do to basically switch roles with my wife, let her be home and nurture the kids while I'm working, even if I had to work 2-3 jobs. That's just me personally. I was raised like that. I believe that's the biblical model, is the man is the head of the house. He's the leader. He's the gatherer. He's the hunter type thing. And the woman is the one that takes care of the house and the family and the kids. So that's just my opinion on it. And I'm not trying to offend you that asked the question or be rude to you or anything like that. I just think that that's the case. And there's so many variables. Like, people in the chat are like, what about single moms? What about single dads? I'm not talking about single moms or single dads. I'm talking about a married couple with children. So that's all a different story. There's so many variables. I'm just talking about a married couple with children. What's God's role for family is what I'm talking about. A single mom, single dad, that's a whole different story. All right. We're almost done, guys. We are going to pray. We have prayer meeting in 30 minutes. If you're a monthly partner, if you're not a monthly partner, pray about becoming one. You can do it on my website by clicking the giving link or becoming a YouTube member, but it's better to do it on the website. But if you are a YouTube member, go to the perks tab, and in 30 minutes, we're going to be on Zoom praying together, and we do that every single week, and the Zoom link's always the same. The password's always the same. So spoiler alert, even if you cancel your membership after a month, you can still join the calls. No one's like checking like, oh, you're not a member anymore. It is what it is. Yeah, join those calls. Okay. If you're wondering how to get rid of a certain spirit, it's the same way you go through deliverance. There's no special strategy for any specific spirit. Do I have a demon? Every time I want to share the word of God, I start to stutter and my mind goes blank. Why? You might. You know, one of the ways I know I needed deliverance, this was a few days after getting saved, and I have a whole story about how I went through deliverance. Well, maybe I should make a new one, but I don't even know where it's at this point. It's somewhere on the channel. But one of the ways I knew I needed deliverance was because when I would share my faith, I would start going like I was like breathing in it, and I felt like I was going to growl. I felt like something was scratching in my throat. Like I literally was like, I want to growl right now. I don't know why. I'm coughing. I'm growling every time I share my faith. And that went on for about 6 hours. I was at work witnessing, and I felt like I wanted to growl or cough. I'm like, why do I want to cough every time I start sharing my faith at work? I realized I had a demon. I needed to go through deliverance. And then my little sister did deliverance on me. And maybe I'll make a video about that story soon. I have it on interviews I've done. And I just did a recent interview that's coming out soon where I shared that story. But that's one of the ways I knew I needed deliverance. So if your mind's going blank when you go to share your faith, it might be that you have a spirit there. How do you combat cowardice and sharing hard truths with loved ones, the fear of man? Pray for the Holy Spirit to embolden you. He wants to embolden you, right? Someone said, should I have my breast implants removed? Will they take me to hell? No. You're not going to go to hell if you have breast implants or plastic surgery. You do not need to get your implants removed so you don't go to hell. I don't know who told you that. That's definitely not biblical and not the case. There's nothing in the Bible about if you get some type of cosmetic surgery, you're going to go to hell or anything like that. So, no, you're fine. It's like somebody that gets a hip replacement, right? Your hip's completely shot. They give you a piece of metal and you give you a new hip. It's like, oh, am I going to go to hell because I have a hip replacement? I have a piece of plastic or metal in my body? No, you're not going to go to hell for that. The Bible's not against modern medicine. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, was a doctor, was a medical doctor, a physician. So the Bible is not against it. The Bible nowhere says, don't go to a doctor. Like I said, the most supernatural book in the Bible is written by a doctor. Jesus didn't tell Luke, hey, you're not a physician anymore. Stop being a physician. What I think the Bible is against is when you abuse medicine and when you allow these big pharmaceutical companies to make billions of dollars off of us by addicting us to antidepressants, this drug, and this drug. That's what I think that is sin. When you're addicted to prescription pills and you're taking pills when you don't even need them, now you're hooked on them and they're basically your God. You're using them to cope. You're using them to free you from certain things. But I don't think there's anything wrong with, like I said, you're not going to hell if you have a breast implant or whatever implant, whatever surgery, plates, you know, whatever. I don't know. Who knows? Does he read the YouTube comments too? That's the comments I'm reading. Guys, I have it on slow mode and there's still hundreds of comments and questions. It is what it is. I'm just shotgun answering. There's nothing, you know, I don't know what to tell you. The Michael Brown situation, I don't know all the details because I'm not at his church. I'm not his covering, but I'm letting that play out and I have all the same information as you guys have. So I'm following along just like you guys are. I know that somebody said he was removed from the church. I don't know what you guys want me to say. People are saying you need to speak out. What do you want me to say? They're doing an investigation. Let it play out. I have nothing to say about it. Let the investigation happen and whatever happens, happens, right? If what they're saying is all true, then yeah, of course it's wrong. But I'm not in his church. I'm not his leader. I'm not his pastor. I have no authority over him. I know there's stuff happening at Daystar. I don't know anyone at Daystar. I have no authority at Daystar. I've never been to Daystar. Me speaking about it, they're already speaking out. People are already talking about it that are close with them. And you guys can watch those videos. Unless the Lord tells me like make a video about Daystar, who am I that's going to make a video covering something that's been covered 1,000 times that has nothing to do with me? Like I said, if I was going to make videos about every scandal, every sin, everyone that got exposed, I would be making videos every single day. You know, the Robert Morris thing, the Mike Bickle thing, all of these things, investigations are happening third party. Lawyers are involved investigating. Let them do the work. I am not an investigator. I'm not law enforcement. I'm not their pastor. Now, if I'm their pastor, right? Say I'm a pastor of a very well-known, famous whoever. Then, of course, I'll make a statement because I'm their pastor. But if I'm not their pastor, who am I? I'm just going to be like the next heresy hunter making videos about every single person's sin. I don't want to be that guy. I want to train you guys, equip you guys, bring life to the body of Christ. I'm not going to call, this person, this person, this person. I don't want to be Christian tabloid. So, yeah, it's not going to be that. This channel is not going to become that. Although it's easy, cheap, quick views. If I made a video, like, let's say for a day start, it's going to get 500,000 views, 400,000 views. But what benefit is it going to do for the kingdom when the story's already getting out there? When the story's already being told, what's already being exposed? And good. Lord, expose it. Expose any evil. But am I going to need to comment on every single thing that happens at God TV or Daystar or Mike Bickle or Robert Morris or TD Jakes or all these people? No, I'm not going to be the person making videos about all of that. I'm not going to become a Christian gossip channel. And not all, everyone that does is. There is a time and place where if the Lord leads you to, then do it. I'm not, who am I to say? But if that's all your channel is, then I think you're a Christian gossip channel. But I think there are times where the Lord will use certain people. If you feel like the Lord's telling you, hey, if the Lord told me, hey, I want you to bring on so-and-so and expose this, I'll do it. But the Lord hasn't told me to do that specifically, so I'm not going to. Maybe he did to another channel. Great, they can do that. That's fine. I'm not saying anything wrong. Do it. Amen. Praise God. I'm cheering you on. But again, we just have to use wisdom. I don't want that to be, again, I'm not going to make a video on commenting on every single thing happening. You have the information that I have. I don't have any insider information. I read the same articles as you. I'm talking to the same people that you guys see are posting. And it is what it is, following along. I won't be live tonight, no. I'm live Monday night at 6, Tuesday night at 6, and then Thursdays at noon. Okay, I should be getting off here soon, though, because I'm going to be doing a prayer call here in less than 30 minutes. So if you guys are, and guys, at the end of the day, here's the bottom line. Christ is going to separate the goats from the sheep, the wheat from the tare. The Bible says, let the angels separate the wheat from the tare. The angels are going to do it. I don't need to be commenting on every single person who's God, who's not, who's Christian, who's not. And also, I'll be honest with you guys. Yeah, Christopher, I'm still friends with David Diego Hernandez. I'll be honest with you guys. I have a godly fear. I see stuff in the news and I'm like, okay, I don't know all that what's true or not. That's why there's investigations happening. But I have a massive platform. And I have a godly fear, genuinely, that I'm going to speak out against somebody. Let's say, I don't know, whoever. The last pastor that got, quote unquote, exposed by the media or by a family member, by a friend, whatever. I don't know. I have a godly fear that I'm going to speak out against them. And then it turns out those were false allegations. And I have, 2 point something million followers total. I just now to my 2.something million followers, slandered a man of God and bore false witness when a month went by, the investigation says none of that happened and they're cleared. I'm like, I can't take that back. I can't take back what I said about them. Even if I delete the video, I still said it and it still got hundreds of thousands of views. Like I said, if I made a video tomorrow about any scandal, it'll get 300,000 views, guarantee you. People love drama. I already know that's how you get views on YouTube. YouTube loves promoting drama and stuff. So now again, if God told me to, I will. I'll do whatever he says. But I'm also afraid that I would ever speak out against a man of God for an allegation that comes out that isn't true. So I let everything play out. Let the Lord do what he wants to do. If people are feeling called to speak out, speak out. I'll never stop anyone from speaking out. I just am not going to make my channel a channel where I'm just, you know, calling out and judging people and doing all that. I don't know. We'll see. Every situation is different. And that's that. All right. And I think it's all wrong. Lord, expose the sin. I'm praying for it. If there's any sin in someone's life, expose it. Bring it to the surface. None of us want there to be compromise or sin going on. But if you think that I'm ever quiet because I want to be on their platform, you don't know me. I can care less about anybody's platform. I can care less about being on anybody's show. I will never, ever, ever be quiet or silent about an issue because they're my friend or I'm afraid that I'll lose a platform. And I'm not being arrogant. I don't need anybody's platform. I have my own platform. I don't need to go on anybody's show, anybody's channel. It's a burden for me to go on and do an interview with anybody. Like, it's work for me. I could just go on my own channel. So yeah, if you ever think like, oh, you're just not saying something because you want to be friends or not go on, you want to go on their show. I don't. Not being arrogant, I've gotten invited on all the big major Christian television networks. I turned down 99% of the interviews I get. I got several hundred booking requests last year that I didn't take. I'm not looking for a platform. I'm not looking for a stage. I'm not striving to be friends with this person, that person. Lord, expose the evil. I'm all for it. I'm all for exposing the evil. Okay, God's exposing. Praise the Lord. Pray. Pray for the ministers. Pray for the people that are hurt. Pray for the churches. Pray for the body of Christ. We need to pray, seek the Lord. Don't gloat. Don't take pleasure in men or women of God falling and crumbling. We just need to pray for people. Pray that the light shines and that sin gets exposed, and take it as a warning sign. Take it as a sign of humility, like, Lord, humble me, search my heart. I look at these things saying, Lord, I don't want to be a statistic. Search my heart. Make sure there's no sin in my life or anything ungodly in my life. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Please partner with us. I'm going to go in 25 minutes for the prayer call. We'll have videos coming out this weekend. We'll be live Monday and Tuesday as well. So, no, I didn't feel the earthquake, but family members that live close did. I was driving, didn't feel it, but definitely hit my area. So we'll see what happens. There's tsunami warning like an hour and a half away from me. I'm about an hour and a half from the coast. So love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Partner with us. So down below, if you partner with the website right now monthly, or you become a YouTube member, you can join the Zoom call in 25 minutes. So that will be sent out right now. I'm going to get off here and send out emails for those that partnered. And I had a great time hanging out with you guys, answering questions, and just flowing. I know there's a lot of questions that I didn't get to, but I'm one person and there was 850 of you on here. So I love you guys so much. All my friends in the chat, you guys are amazing. I'll see you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.